Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Amnesty International has just published an analysis into the root causes of the current crisis in Rakhine State. It's found that the Rohingya people in Myanmar are trapped in a vicious system of state-sponsored, institutionalized discrimination that amounts to the international crime of apartheid. Amnesty's two-year investigation is called Caged Without a Roof. It claims Myanmar authorities keep Rohingya women, men and children segregated and cowed in a dehumanizing existence. The report finds it's not a recent phenomenon, it's a problem that goes back decades. Diana Sayed is Amnesty International Australia's Crisis Campaigns Coordinator. She says the allegation of the crime of apartheid is not one that Amnesty makes lightly.
But this is the first time in the history of Amnesty International that we've actually called a regime like Myanmar an apartheid.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And, you know, this is something that we don't take lightly, and it's come, as I've mentioned, over 2 years of in-depth, thorough legal analysis under all the international laws, whether it was the Convention Against Apartheid or the Rome Statute. What this amounts to every day, for the breaking it down to the lives of the Rohingya people, they've described it as they're living in open air prisons. Their freedom of movement is heavily restricted. They can't travel between villages. They can't travel out to visit family that are in other villages without having to travel through and pass different checkpoints, of which they are humiliated, they're forced to pay bribes. It's this sort of like constant harassment, humiliation, which leads to hopelessness and despair. But it's not just their freedom of movement being heavily restricted. We're talking about their inability to access education. Schools are segregated. There are Muslim Rohingya schools as opposed to all the rest of the ethnic minorities within Myanmar. We've got them trying to access, and higher education is just out of the question. We've got them trying to access healthcare. There's hospitals located in different villages that they can't get to. And even then, when they can, they're segregated there as well, where there are specific allocated Muslim wards for the Rohingya people. And even when they're able to access those wards, doctors aren't obligated to treat them. They often have to go to neighbouring Bangladesh just to seek treatment, which is obviously costly. And with their freedom of movement so heavily restricted, how are they even going to get there?
Yes, and your report documents that this isn't just a recent thing. Well, we've been watching it since earlier this year during the current crisis. It's decades. It's historical. And so as I understand it from your report, the others in Myanmar call them Bengalis. They don't use the word Rohingya Muslims, and they have another word for them, an insult which amounts to calling them black.
Look, what underpins the whole system where the Rohingya are singled out and the rhetoric that is used by the state to dehumanise them, and this sort of the crisis that we saw this year and the ongoing cycle that we've seen, whether it's in 2012, we saw it in October 2016 and again in August earlier this year. The premise of this goes back to the 1982 citizenship law that actually doesn't specifically state that Rohingya people are an ethnic minority within Myanmar. So from the very foundation of the state, they refuse to acknowledge that they're even part of the state. And so everything has flown on from them to deny their very right to exist. You know, if this isn't, you know, the ethnic cleansing, then I don't know what is.
Well, indeed, the US Secretary of State has called it ethnic cleansing now.
Absolutely. And so has the UK spokesperson for Theresa May has also said that.
Now, you've said, Amnesty has said in releasing this report that this now obliges Australia to take different action than what we're currently doing. Talk about that.
Absolutely. Australia's silence on this has been deafening in the same way that Aung San Suu Kyi's has been. We have pushed both Foreign Minister Julie Bishop as well as Defence Minister Maurice Payne to take, you know, action and cut all military ties to the Myanmar regime.
What are we currently providing for the military regime?
Yeah, well, why do we want them to cut ties? Well, all of our research has found that the Myanmar military has been perpetrating these crimes against humanity in razing villages, the mass killings, the gang rapes of women, the forcibly displacing them to neighbouring Bangladesh and placing landmines along the border. We have seen that Australia's continued engagement makes us complicit in these crimes against humanity. We need to send a very clear message that any engagement at this point is unacceptable until they investigate these current bouts of crisis and the killings and all the rest of it that has forcibly displaced over 615,000 Rohingya people. And this is over half of the population.
Yes, yes, of course.
There was only 1 million Rohingya people living in Myanmar. So forcibly displacing over half of the population needs to be thoroughly investigated as to why.
But Deanna, just to be clear, what is the Australian involvement currently? Is it mainly diplomatic?
No, our engagement with Myanmar is directly with the military, and it's about a $400,000 training program.
Right.
And we haven't really been able to get any of the specifics as to what this training program entails, but what we see it is still an engagement, they're still providing support, and at this point where we've called it an apartheid, the US, the UN, as well as the UK have called it ethnic cleansing. Now is the time for Australia to actually not only call it ethnic cleansing, but to draw a line in the sand and cut all ties with the military. Mm. What are they waiting for, essentially?
Mm. Well, just a final matter, it's not the case that there hasn't been aggression from the Rohingyans themselves. There's a Rohingyan armed forces unit which didn't do their cause a lot of good when they mounted some attacks the day after the UN had got the Myanmar to agree to some changes. That was earlier this year. So what of the Rohingyans themselves? Is there work for them to do?
Absolutely. Look, Amnesty has condemned violence on all sides to this current conflict. However, the disproportionate response from the Myanmar military is absolutely a war crime and a crime against humanity. Appropriate response would have been to hold those perpetrators to account following fair trials rather than a collective punishment of a whole population of over 1 million people. Mm. A whole population can't be collectively punished for the acts of a few. Now, we all know that, and the Myanmar military conducted a very systematic operation to remove them from Rakhine State. Unless then there is this overhaul of the current system that is denying their very existence, we will keep seeing these crisis tipping points within the state. And any sort of progression to a democratic state is unsustainable unless they address the Rohingya people and their ongoing right to exist within Myanmar.
Deanna, thank you once again for joining us on Open House.
Anytime. Thank you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.